B-Pod Studios.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily, and it's the middle of the week, so you know what time it is.
WandaWednesday!
We're definitely going to be talking about one of the most lit episodes of WandaVision in the history of everdom. And also, we got a ton of stuff to talk about. Yoshi P gave us a little insight into the next Final Fantasy game. Schalke 04, I know them from soccer. You know them from the LEC. Guess what? May not be there for too much longer. And also, the ESA is mulling over a very, very bad law in Illinois. It's a bad law. It's a terrible law. So, stick around for that. Here's Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
What's up, y'all? We here. It's Wednesdays. Super excited.
This is a, many don't know, this is a national holiday in Michigan.
Yes.
This is the
first
day
nice
in the 40s.
Day. Yes.
What are you referencing?
The first day where the weather climbs above 40 and every Michigander inexplicably decides to not wear a coat.
Yep. No, this is
driving to work with the windows down.
All right, we have a name for this in the African American community. We call it
psychosis.
No, we call it the white folks lost their mind day because yeah. It is exactly this day where you start seeing the one guy who never wears pants. He has shorts on.
Shorts guy is back.
Shorts man is back. Convertible midlife crisis man is back.
That, yeah, a convertible top is down for this day, even though it is, as we said, like 42.
It's still snow on the ground.
It is freezing cold
outside.
It's
very cold.
And yet, because it's been like under 10 for the last month or so, it feels very nice outside,
absolutely.
Especially when the sun's out.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
People are dining outside. There's just fuckery all around. As soon as the sun comes out, people lose their damn mind.
Yeah. I am not that person. I am under a blanket 24/7.
Oh my gosh.
Even in like 70 degree weather, I'm like, it's a little chilly.
But Chad, I'm with you. That's how I feel, especially me because I'm African. So it's one of those types of things where it's like, yo, it's 70 degrees. Mm-hmm. You know what 70 is? Room temperature.
That's comfortable.
Comfortable. That means I don't have to put on a coat, mm-hmm. but I also don't have to take off my hoodie. That's
right,
what 70
exactly.
degrees is,
right.
okay?
I mean, maybe I'll wear a t-shirt.
Maybe. Maybe if I was working out or something.
Right.
So you know? I only have like 3 degrees of clothes. There is shorts and a tank top. There is t-shirt and jeans. And then there is the full winter arsenal. Mm-hmm. Those are my only three.
Well, you got four. You got four because you got some slut wear.
Okay. yes, but slut wear is not temperature dependent.
Okay, facts.
Slut That's wear true. is context sensitive.
Well, I was going to say, like,
everybody has slut wear.
Everyone has slut wear, and you wear it in any weather because.
That's true.
Exactly. Whether it's 10 degrees or 100 degrees, you can wear your schoolgirl
outfit.
You
have to walk it properly. It's more about, you know,
attitude.
Slut wear is all about attitude and confidence.
Absolutely.
It's not really about what you're wearing.
Of course.
Or lack thereof.
This is so much insight, and I appreciate this, but we do have a show to do.
I guess.
This is my fault. I got us off
track. I mean, it's fair. It's a little TMI.
Yeah, listen. That's what this show is.
I'll tell you.
It's all too much info.
Robbie's in the chat right now picturing me in a schoolgirl uniform. That's what he has to live with for the rest of his life.
And you know what? I'm happy that he has to live with that. Anyway, with that said, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right. So Yoshida, Yoshi P, we know him from FF14. But the
great guy.
The wider gaming world is about to know him as the director of FF16.
Yes.
He got to talking a little bit about FF16 and telling us a little bit about what the game is going to be like. He did an interview where he answered a couple of questions. And in typical Yoshi fashion, he didn't give away too much, but he gave away just some tidbits that we thought we'd share with you. One of which being FF16. Definitely looking like it's going to be more action-oriented than other Final Fantasy games.
Which, we could see that from the trailer.
We could see it from the trailer, and it's definitely the trend that games have been taking since 13 and especially 15.
Yeah.
The one that got interested me is Yoshi talks about how, you know, he's getting ready to turn 50.
Yep.
And he's grown up in, you know, 80s, 90s,
2000s. He's been around for this whole series.
He has. And what he wants to talk about in this game is hardship. It's a story about hardship, and he thinks it's going to resonate a lot with people who grew up in the 80s and 90s, who saw 9/11,
yep.
who saw the financial crash
and Iraq War.
The Iraq War. He thinks it's going to be a game that really people like that are going to identify with.
I love this.
And I love the idea of a more adult-themed, kind of brutal Final Fantasy
and
game. I love
you,
it.
And I'm going to tell first of all, by the way, this is the first Final Fantasy that has an M rating. That's never happened before.
I did not hear that it has an M rating. Is that confirmed?
There's visible blood, so that's one of the criteria.
For M?
If there's visible blood on a character, that is probably going to be M rated.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they were talking about the adult theme saying that it's probably going to be M rated.
Okay.
All right.
But the thing is that I love about this whole concept is the fact that I've been waiting for a lot of these games to grow up. And what I mean by that is that Final Fantasy, and I said this on the show before, Final Fantasy is becoming an old man series. And I hate to say that in a room full of people who love the series, but it is. A lot of younger, newer people, they don't have the same level of resonance with Final Fantasy that a lot of people who are millennials and Gen X may have.
Because all I've grown up with is 13 and 15, which are the worst.
Listen, and that's fine. Just like certain people grew up with certain TV shows. We grew up with sitcoms. The generation after us grew up was going to grow up on reality TV. That's just how that is, right?
That's unfortunate.
To you!
Yeah, you're right. I guess, exactly. To the people who grew up in it, we're just the old people complaining that our genre of music isn't on anymore.
Exactly.
It's the modern equivalent.
Exactly. And so I'm totally okay with Jay-Z talking about financial responsibility in his raps and talking about raising his kids and buying pieces of art that appreciate in value. I'm okay with that. Why? Right. Because Jay-Z's fucking 50. I don't want to hear him about selling dope no more. All right?
You know, I get you.
I don't want that. And so when I hear Final Fantasy, and I hear that they're talking about these more adult themes, because he also went on to say in the interview that it's going to be about maturation and dealing with the hardships of what comes with growing up and having to bear responsibility. That, to me, is a Final Fantasy I want to play. I don't always want to play save the crystal, save the world, save the cheerleader, save the world. I don't want to play
cheerleader.
That.
Heroes, the Final
Fantasy
adventure.
Yeah, I'm kind of low-key over that, which is part of why I liked 6 so much, is because 6, when you go back and play it, is dark as hell. It's dark. The world blows up. Halfway through, the bad guy wins. One of the main characters tries to kill herself.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild when you think about Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, when you go back and look at FF6, you go, there's some stuff here they would not get away with today. Like, this is a brutal game.
Yeah.
Here's the actual quote from Yoshi, and it actually gives me some excitement for the next expansion of 14, too. There's really not much more I can say right now. I'm part of a generation that's been playing Final Fantasy since its beginnings at release. I'm almost 50 years old, so I've experienced a lot of things in my life. So I want to make games that even those who know about how hard life can be at times can still enjoy. The kind of distress you experience after you've become an adult. That's what I strive for with FF14 and the story of the Warrior of Light 2. I think FF16 will be a fantasy for those who grew up with Final Fantasy and also know the harsh reality of the world. I can't tell you more or I'll get yelled at. I think I already told you a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, first of all, I think Endwalker is going to be one of the most brutal. And yet triumphant at the end stories that Final Fantasy 14 has ever told. That's my prediction is like the night will be darkest just before the dawn.
I mean, I hope so. And in the chat, we also have a comment from Omega Weltall. If you guys haven't already, slide over to twitch.tv/checkpointxp every Wednesday to hear our live show or to watch us live. And he says, that's why I never got into Persona too much. It's all high school kids. But that's part of the draw. It's okay for that game to be perpetual youth. It's okay for that.
Yeah.
And I actually think Persona 5 did a great job at highlighting some of the things that high schoolers would have to deal with. So I
interestingly, though, because there is something to be said for like, I only want to see the high school story, coming of age story so many times. I lived it, but I lived it 15 years ago now. Yeah. That was a while ago for me. And in anime, I mean, if they cut off like stories that take place in high school in anime, that'd be most of anime.
I was about to say, that's all anime.
But we started watching one the other day where it's like the main characters were in like late college years, which was refreshing.
It is.
Like, they're adults, they can go out and drink, and they...
It's like, how many games in anime are made about somebody who's 28?
Zero.
Exactly.
There aren't any.
Yeah, and so it'll be really cool. And Chad just showed me something right quick, and I'm going to call a very, very quick audible right quick because BioWare has put out a statement about Anthem literally just now.
All right.
And so the opening of the statement in the spirit, this is from Christian Daly, director, head of the development team for Anthem. In the spirit of transparency and closure, we wanted to share that we made the difficult decision to stop our new development work on Anthem, aka Anthem Next. We will, however, continue to keep the Anthem servers live as it is today.
So I told you, suckers. That's the beginning of the end, then.
Yeah, I told you.
It's a shame because, you know, it sucks that.
Is it?
It's a shame when anything loses job.
Right. It's a shame when anyone loses their game. Right. Yeah.
From that aspect, I will say yes. It's a shame.
Is this a learning lesson, though, for developers? I don't,
Well, that said, I mean, you know, they're going to go work elsewhere.
I'm sure they'll work on a different game.
But it sucks, within EA.
It sucks. I don't know. It's just always a bummer.
But it's just here's the one thing I want to say before we move on to our next story about Anthem is that the problem is, Chad, I don't think people are going to see this as emblematic of anything anyone should learn from this. Because that's what I'm seeing right now. We're seeing all
the issues. That's not the EA motto.
Well, not even just that, but we're seeing the issues that Cyberpunk continues to have, and we'll get into that later this week. But we see the issues they continue to have. We see the issues so many other development houses have with these AAA games that they're trying to put out. Nobody's going to learn from Anthem. Nobody's going to learn from this.
I guess there's a lot going on right now.
Nobody's going to learn from this. And, you know, listen, I understand it's COVID. It's harder for everybody to do everything. But, yeah, I told y'all last month that this game was going to die.
Yep.
And it's dead.
All right.
There it is.
Well, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Schalke 04. We don't usually talk about the LEC too much on here because obviously it's not our region. However, we are going to mention it today because rumors are circulating that Schalke 04 is going to have to look to sell their LEC slot.
What are LEC slots going for nowadays?
Oh my gosh, I do not know. I'm going to guess slightly less than an LCS slot.
Because I remember the LCS slots, there was hovering around, what was it?
20 million.
Yeah.
So a good bit, but obviously Schalke 04 struggling mightily with their soccer team.
Yeah, so here's the thing. If you guys do not know, LEC in the European Division of League of Legends, Schalke 04 is one of those. Europe operates very differently from America in the sense that you wouldn't have, like, Ford Motor Company, the LCS team. You probably wouldn't have that.
No.
It would be named something else. But Schalke owns a soccer team, a number of other sports teams, as well as I believe they do, like, financial services or something. I don't know, but Schalke is...
They probably have a company in there somewhere.
Schalke's a multinational. They're a company right. that kind of does everything.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is one of their big marquee title holdings is their soccer team, and the soccer team is floundering.
In the Bundesliga?
In the Bundesliga in Germany. Last place. They're going to get relegated, which means a massive, massive drop-off in revenue for their team. And the same thing is going to pour over to the LEC team, unfortunately, which is performing better than the soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
But they're probably going to have to sell that slot in order to, unfortunately, keep the soccer team afloat.
Well, and it's a reminder, and a harsh reminder, too, that many LEC and LCS teams, in fact, I think almost all of them, operate in the red right now. You are spending money on your esports team. You're not yet making money with it. So it's a good reminder. Especially in COVID, we've seen a number of teams have to fold up. I know North Esports had to fold up. So we're not out of it yet.
No, we're not.
There's probably going to be a few more casualties.
There are. And I think the big thing that I want everybody to kind of, some of these companies to kind of realize is that I would prefer these companies that focus on esports, that are esports orgs. Mm-hmm. I like that. As much as I liked Schalke being involved as a soccer fan, do soccer. Do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Leave that slot or sell that slot to a legacy brand that that can really, really, really do a lot with it. And in the same vein that Evil Geniuses did in the LCS.
Mm-hmm. So in Illinois, a Democratic, I believe he is he's in the Illinois General Assembly. Okay, so Marcus C. Evans introduced HB 3531, which would ban the sale of violent video games to everyone, not just minors, in the state of Illinois.
Well, first of all, won't pass. Second of all, dumb idea.
Yeah, the ESA responded to that saying, while our industry understands and shares the concerns about what has been happening in Chicago, there simply is no evidence of a link between interactive entertainment and real world violence.
And never has been.
Yep.
And here's the problem. Here's the problem. And I actually really resent this coming from the left, because this has usually been a talking point from conservatives.
From the right,
For a very long time. And, you know, it just goes to show that this pseudoscience is not partisan, right? Because this is somebody who is on the left, a Democratic a member of the General Assembly. They're now pushing this narrative, and don't get me wrong, there is a very, very, very horrible issue with gun violence in Chicago.
Specifically,
Chicago.
Evan says that he introduced the bill in response to the rising carjackings in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the term carjacking, and then in Detroit. But
awesome.
The thing is that this does nothing to address the actual fucking problem, which is how do 17-year-olds get guns? Yeah. That's the question.
Yeah, let's go down to the base issue.
To the real issue. It's really hard to carjack people without weaponry.
Is it? Yeah.
It just is. So it doesn't matter how many video games. Dude, if these kids could go and play Hoonie Pop for all I care, it doesn't change the fact that they're going to still be packing pistols.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, like, how many times are we going to have to suffer this frankly insufferable line of reasoning?
First of all, it's bullshit on two levels, because I also hate the fact that Chicago is always used as this microcosm for violence in America when it's just simply not true. But
they'll blame Hoonie Pop on teen pregnancy. Jesus.
Maybe porn addiction. I don't know if too many of those people are knocking boots with actual humans. But the thing about it is that this is such a stupid idea and so short-sighted.
Yeah.
Because what that would do is that would essentially evaporate any level of tax or sales that they would have got from video games in the state of Illinois ever.
You know who's licking their chops?
Indiana.
Indiana and Wisconsin.
Yep.
Game retailers in Indiana and Wisconsin are licking their chops hoping this bill passes.
Because that's all you're going to do is go to Indiana, buy the video game, and come back and transport that shit across state lines.
Oh, God, we're going to have a customs check at the border. You got Grand Theft Auto on you? No, man, I ain't got Grand Theft Auto.
How will they regulate digital goods?
Well, that's just IP. Lock.
IP, yeah, you definitely.
Yeah, okay,
but
fine.
That means
VPN.
Exactly, VPN's gonna get right around it. Like,
so there's,
again,
not gonna do anything.
Again, people who have no clue how any of this shit works don't need to be writing laws about it.
Correct.
I'm sorry. Okay, which, by the way, word out to America. I gotta say this. I gotta give a win where a win is due. State of California can enforce their net neutrality.
I saw that. Very interesting.
Hopefully, very happy about that.
Hopefully a model of the other 49 states will follow.
Absolutely.
Talking to you, Michigan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So look that up if you want more information about that. We don't have time to go all in through that, because we got to talk about WandaVision.
Yes!
Yeah, buddy! So that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we got Wanda Wednesdays coming up.
Working around bugs in Cyberpunk 2077, but your stomach is making you hangry? Cure your craving with Zaxby's. No need to hit pause. Order Zaxby's famous chicken, sandwiches, and salads for pickup and delivery on the Zaxby's app or over at Zaxby's.com. Cruise the streets of Cyberpunk's Night City while it arrives at your doorstep. Just order from Zaxby's indescribably good menu on the app or online, and never miss a moment of game time.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another illustrious, wonderful, hilarious, and greatest episode of Checkpoint Daily. This is such a fun show to do, you guys, and I'm happy that you all are listening to it. And if you haven't remembered, make sure you guys check out The Other Identity, which comes out on Tuesdays, and check out Checkpoint on Campus for all of the latest in college esports news. And you can also see more of my face there. Why? Because I am beautiful. Anyway, with that said, we got WandaVision to talk about, y'all.
Oh my God, yes.
This episode was fucking nuts.
Yeah, this episode was, we've been waiting for the episode where the other shoe drops. The other shoe is on the ground.
It wasn't just
a stilettoed boot.
Oh yeah, stilettoed boot.
Yes. And I have spent all week singing it.
Literally,
all week.
Callie,
I cannot get it out of my head.
In on Monday, singing it to me.
Oh my God, it's okay. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's break it down a little bit. Yeah.
So this week's episode, based off of Modern Family, as we found out just before, I think just as we were recording last week, we found out that it was going to be based on Modern Family. And I mean, first of all, once again, showing their mastery and understanding of these various sitcoms that they're kind of making fun of.
That movement of the camera, that slight movement.
The slight zoom in.
It's ever so subtle, but I was like, that's spot on.
It's perfectly Modern Family. I think Rob pointed it out when we were watching. We're sitting the shot where she comes downstairs to talk to the twins, and the twins just look at each other and look at the camera. Yeah. I'm like, straight out of Modern Family. Yep. So this whole episode, Wanda is very much struggling with what's going on, how much of this she actually has any control over. Her powers are definitely starting to break down. Her whole world is breaking down, and she can't fix it for whatever reason.
But again, it's because her not just the world, but her sanity itself is breaking
Correct.
Down. Everything that is supposed to go right is now going wrong. Vision is going rogue, essentially, mm-hmm. and is off doing his own thing. Her kids are manifesting their own powers,
yep.
which was not supposed to happen.
And she has zero influence over them.
Exactly.
Other than being their mom. Vision gets to spend a little bit of time with Kat Dennings' character, with Darcy, this week, which was some of my favorite parts of the episode.
One thing I was a little bummed is they didn't, like, put her in a waitress outfit. And I was, like, waiting for, like,
the
throwback.
You wanted the two girls
outfit. I
wanted
a throwback. Like, I was, come on. That would have been such an easy thing to do.
Yeah, an easy little joke to make. That would have been pretty funny.
It would have.
Obviously, the episode focuses on Wanda trying to keep Vision and Darcy away, or some force trying to keep Wanda or Darcy and Vision away. We now know it's probably not Wanda who is doing that.
Right.
But the main point of the episode is the reveal, of course, that I called, and I believe episode 2.
You did.
Agnes.
As a matter of fact, you called it before I seen all these other little outlets call it.
That Agnes is going to be our villain. Yeah. Agnes is, as we learned later, is Agatha Harkness. That is,
who's been a witch for a long time.
Since the Salem Witch Trials.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she was the actual witch during the Salem Witch Trials.
Yeah.
So she is definitely going to be our villain for the series. She reveals herself at the end. The twins have gone missing. She is basically threatening Wanda at this point, saying, hey, you're not the only magical girl in town. And we get, of course, the most catchy tune in history, because Disney owns them and it has to have a great villain song. We get the song Agatha All Along, where we learn that, in fact, she has pulled the strings from the very beginning, and she killed Sparky, too.
Which came to the best memes I've seen in a while.
Okay.
Outside of Bernie, that's the 2021 best meme.
Yeah, the new, and I did this, too, is the best meme format of the year.
And you know what? To me, that was only part of the awesome reveal, right? Because what we also saw with that is there seemed to be a overabundance of very large locusts floating about Agatha's basement.
Yep.
And the thing about it is that what a lot of people kind of inferred is that, that still could be Mephisto, because obviously flies and locusts and pestilence and all that kind of stuff is the presence of a greater demon.
There's one thing that was pointed out in the episode, and it was the book. Mm-hmm. And everything is purple except for the book has orange.
Well, the book literally has a demon's face on it. Just pointing out. Now, this isn't our first time seeing the book. If they're going to say it's the same book, I'm sure it is. It was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yep, we also have seen this book there. I do think that this is the setup. We're going to find out that at some point Agnes made a deal with Mephisto to get her powers, and at some point we may see Wanda do the same to try and save her children.
Because we don't know. He may say, like, listen, if you want to keep your powers, every so often you got to sacrifice me two kids.
Maybe. I think we did, by the way, a great clue in earlier in the episode was Wiccan, Wanda's son, saying to Agnes, you're quiet. I like you. I don't hear. Yeah, you're quiet on the inside, which has a whole bunch of different meanings to it. One might be that she has traded her soul for something, or it might just be something as simple as to give us a clue that when Vision like got her to start like freaking out,
it was an act.
Yeah, she's not actually freaking out on the inside like everyone else is.
Yeah,
it's probably that one. Although I like the idea that she traded her soul for her powers. But
I think it's cool. And so go ahead, Jack.
I'm just wondering. I keep thinking that it's too easy for her just to be the outright villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's an ulterior motive. Because she's not necessarily, from what I've read up, because I had no idea who she was until I started looking into her. She's not necessarily a villain character.
No, she's usually
general.
Wanda's mentor.
She's
right.
a mentor.
So this leads me to believe that she's not necessarily going to be a villain.
Well, and the thing that I hope is that what Agatha's objective is to get Wanda to eventually break down the hex before it goes too far, because she knows that the larger force, whether it be Mephisto or whomever, will come collect something.
I don't know. Or the hex, or she's doing the opposite, because she's doing everything she can to keep the hex up.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I feel like the hex is actually a protective barrier from Mephisto.
That's what I'm saying, is that I think there is something to Agatha who is actually trying her best to keep Wanda level,
mm-hmm.
so that when she does something that on the surface is about to be really messed up, that is actually for the greater good, to stop the larger evil.
Robbie's suggesting in our chat, Agatha is trying to make Wanda face her issues and deal with them, which could be. So far, I feel like she's gone way out of her way to make Wanda not deal with her issues. But
yeah, honestly, she keeps trying to. Yeah, no, this is the way it is. Although you're right, Robbie and you both have weird things, because it's like she goes out of her way to make Wanda uncomfortable sometimes, which
is
weird.
Well, like the whole thing, like here's what I could see: she killed Sparky,
yeah,
forcing Wanda to have a conversation about death with her kids,
yep. Yeah.
Which is interesting, because her kids want to say, like, no, bring him back, alter reality.
More like she's trying to push a certain narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Robbie could be onto something there, because, I just mentioned it, too. That could be also the reason to bring back Pietro.
Yep.
Is to, okay, now you need to deal with this.
Because you haven't.
And if that requires you to speak to Pietro, then so be it.
Yeah, because you immediately went from, oh, Pietro's dead, to now Vision is in your life, and you never really had that moment to really grieve over your brother. The second largest, the second character development arc that we got is that of Monica.
Monica has officially become super powered.
Yep.
We get a really interesting scene of her trying to basically, first she tries to use a space rover to get into
into the hex. Was brilliant.
So she's like, I can get through it. So she just barrels through the hex, knowing it's going to rewrite her again. We see her literally start splitting into different people as various traumatic moments in her life resurface. And then all of them kind of just slam back together, and she emerges in the hex now as what the comic book people call Photon.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll see if they actually use her name, but they'll probably just call her Monica, I assume. Like, because they already gave Photon that they named her mom that, so I don't know if they'll do that for her, too.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff. I think this is our confirmation that people who experience the Hex are the ones who will be X-Men.
I think so. I think
if they call them the Hex-Men, I'm going to be mad.
I would love that. I'm in. So
no,
you
maybe,
got me.
legit though, maybe that's how it just gets shortened.
Because
like it's like I could see Marvel doing something.
They call
stupid,
them the Hex-Men, and
where
like,
it's like they call them the Hex-Men, but then like one of the like Latino gardener dudes is like the X-Men, and then there's like it just sticks.
Yeah. So I think the confirmation at the end of this will be that people who are affected by the Mind Stone powers, which are what Wanda's powers are, and go through a traumatic event can emerge their X-gene,
the
mutation.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw here, is we saw her being bombarded with the powers of the Mind Stone while experiencing these traumatic events from her past and recalling them, and that is what triggered her mutation, and now she has become a mutated.
So, although Robbie's counter-arguing that she's the only, Monica's the only one that gets the powers because she's been through the Hex three times.
Here's the difference. We don't know anything about what length of exposure does to people.
That's true.
So we don't know if being in it for an extended period of time does something. Mm-hmm. We don't know. So it is all we know is that Monica went through it a couple times, and now she is essentially a mutant.
My guess, if I wanted to, you know, pick a dark horse prediction at where this ends, Wanda is going to get so worked up, she's going to shoot the hex all over the world. It's going to go worldwide for, just, even if just for a moment.
For a moment.
It's going to go worldwide and potentially make a whole world
and
of
that's,
mutants.
And that's what I've been leading to for this whole show. You remember the first week this came out, what did I say? Is I think what's going to happen is this is going to be a reverse No More Mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying there shouldn't be any more mutants that cause so much problems,
right,
the reverse is going to happen to where she gets so traumatized that the hex is shot throughout the entire Earth, and she, by proxy, creates mutants herself.
Yeah, she creates the mutants.
That would be cool. And Robbie says mutants are created, they're born. They can do whatever the hell they want with this story, Robbie.
Call them the Inhumans, then. I don't care.
Right, you can do whatever you want. And by the way, if you hit every person in the world, everybody's not going to manifest powers.
No.
But everybody will have their DNA rewritten, and therefore, if you and this other person have a kid, your kid can be born with a power that manifests.
The problem is, if you don't do it in a way, in a manner like this, where everyone is suddenly kind of made a mutant who is going to be one, the issue is then you need to effectively have an event happens that triggers the mutations to start happening or justify 20 years passing for those young kids to become adults.
Right, because the thing that we first theorized was that anybody who got blooped.
Blooped, yeah.
You know, could potentially
be a mutant when they return. Yeah.
And, you know, Robbie, I agree with you. I think the story of X-Men loses something if they haven't been here all along in some way. But for the MCU...
Where were they this whole time?
Exactly. It's hard to make that make sense. It's hard to make it make sense that somebody like Xavier or Magneto would not be present when Thanos
was
on the planet.
I'm curious what they're going to do with Deadpool. You know what I mean? Like,
well, we
Deadpool,
know he's going to show up in some
He's going to show up in... He's now in part... 3 is officially part
confirmed.
Of the MCU.
Yep.
So if that's the case, then how were their X-Men... You know, that's all these weirdnesses going
to We still haven't dealt with Wanda's...
Feige will find a way,
With Wanda's literal, like, multi-dimensional reality warp and stuff.
Yeah, there's got to be something there.
Doctor Strange's next movie is probably going to give us the tie-in that
right.
we need for
and
it.
So, and that's how I think we get the people who are in the mainline MCU will be the new mutants, your younger mutants and stuff like that, and we'll have some sort of reality warping event where some of the older guard from the other X-Men cinematic universes come in and kind of function as tutors for these new mutants.
To what Robbie's point is, there is something, as much as the Fox movies were okay, the story that they told when you've got some teenagers who manifest their powers and they think it's awesome and great, and like I can do these things, the other ones who were like, oh no.
This sucks.
I'm a mutant. Yeah. And like the kid who's like literally shaving down his wings, Archangel.
Yeah.
Is and like trying to hide their powers because they're afraid of it. You would lose a little bit of that story.
Yes.
Which would be a bummer.
You would. But I think you could still do it. I think, you know, everybody gets hit with the hex, and I think you still have the concept of somebody being different.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right, those powers can you could have a kid who's just a normal kid one day. Who wakes up and is like made of scales.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, how the fuck do I tell my mom and dad that I'm a lizard man?
I'm lizard man now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like it's hard.
Pinello asking, did you see the new Spider-Man title reveal? Which we did. And it's kind of the last thing I wanted to hit on here for Wanda Wednesday this week. First to say, 2 episodes left, super geeked about it.
One of them better be an hour long.
I agree. So the new title for the next Spider-Man movie came out. It is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yep.
I think... 2 things that could be referring to. It is one, it is a Spider-Verse crossover sort of thing where someone is going to struggle to get home because of that.
Where the Spider-Menses
exactly
can't get back to their home places.
Although Tom Holland has been like, no, there's no cameos from the other Spider-Men.
Yeah,
are
we'll
you just
see,
saying
Tom.
That?
Listen, let me tell you something.
Yeah, maybe
stop.
Maybe you don't
they
know
probably.
Tom.
I know, but they probably were like, "You're so bad at doing this. You have to say this exact script."
Stop listening to Tom Holland.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the other thing that could be referencing is that with him having been outed as Spider-Man in the last movie,
can't go home.
It could be referenced that literally he cannot go home because he will be placed under arrest.
Yeah. So it depends. I don't know. All I know is. is this Spider-Man, and I'm watching it first day.
Yeah, I'm geeked for Spider-Man.
I'm so happy. Although,
but I think it's kind of plays into what I said before, is that the whole of this saga of MCU is going to be around multiverse. It's going to be around that concept. This is just another movie that's going to play into that point. And again, I truly still believe this. The end of WandaVision is going to be the moment that sets up this whole next saga.
Oh,
whatever,
absolutely.
Whatever it is. Like Iron Man started the first saga, so too is WandaVision going to start
this second one. Yeah. No, I think it's awesome, and I look forward to not just the rest of WandaVision, but the way this show has gone has me more excited for everything that comes after it. And, I mean, just, my goodness, what a testament to Feige. What a testament to this guy.
In Feige we trust.
In Feige we fucking trust. Anyway, with that said, that's going to be the last word for today's episode. We will be back tomorrow, so make sure you guys stick around and check out your podcast feeds, because we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff tomorrow as well. For Chad Callahan and Callie Scales, I am your host, Norris Howard. We're out of here. Bye-bye. Chad, stick around. We're going to do half an episode.
Yeah, we're going to do the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.